Well, hi, church. Thank you for checking in. Today, we're going to continue the series called Where Do We Go From Here and How Did We Get Here? And I want to look at one specific avenue that will really bless our local community, that will be good for you, good for me, good for the church, good for the community of York Springs. And it's really stuff that we need to be doing all along. And that is to get a Christian attitude towards your work, towards your job and your career. This is something that the Protestant Reformation created 500 years ago. At that point in history, there was this attitude among Christians that there were two different kinds of jobs, that there were sacred jobs. The Roman Catholic Church was kind of bad on this. They led the way in this, and it was the wrong direction. That the idea that there were sacred jobs, that you could become a monk or a nun or a priest or something, and that these were holy jobs, these were sacred jobs, these were the real good Christian jobs. And then there were secular jobs, which was just everything else, a blacksmith or a teacher or a factory worker or a farmer or whatever. And that was just, you just got a job because it paid the bills or something. The Protestant Reformation, one of the many things it did that was a blessing, that was good and right, was it taught that everything is holiness to the Lord. Everything you do should be done for the glory of God. That there is no such thing as a sacred job and a secular job. All jobs are to be done for the glory of God, period. And this was a valuable, valuable lesson that the Protestant Reformation brought in. And it became known as the Protestant work ethic. And it is what built this country, the United States. It contributed heavily, just specifically in Pennsylvania. And really all of Western Europe that participated in the Protestant Reformation was blessed by this, the Protestant work ethic. The idea that I'm going to do my job well, I'm going to work hard for the glory of God, I'm going to have integrity in my work, I'm going to produce good products, I'm going to serve my customer well, I'm going to be honest, I'm not going to rip anybody off, and I'm going to make wealth for myself, my family, and my community by being good at what I do and being successful at what I do, and that this will glorify God. That idea has been lost again. The Protestant Reformation brought it around. It had been lost for a couple hundred years in medieval Europe. The Protestant Reformation taught scriptural principles about work. They brought the Bible in the local language, said everybody can read this thing. Everybody can obey what God says. Not everybody needs to be a priest or a pastor or a monk or a nun, but everybody needs to set about doing your work well for the glory of God. Let me read this to you. This is 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 11. It says that you should aspire to live quietly, to mind your own affairs, work with your hands, so that, verse 12, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. That this is just one of many scriptures that tell us our attitude towards work. And I believe this will apply specifically to our time, this particular verse. He says, look, just go work hard, work quietly with your hands. Become a skilled craftsman, get a trade, learn a trade, learn a skill that you can do well. Mind your own business and do it well. Work with your hands, get good at something, so that you won't have to be dependent on anyone. Our society has lost this. This is something that most people don't even think of as a Christian issue. They just think of it as a kind of an economic issue and outsourcing your jobs to wherever the cheap labor is, usually China or whatever. And we might even complain about that and say, oh, it's bad. But we have lost the Christian mindset about work. We have given this stuff up. We have taught this idea, this Roman Catholic idea from medieval Europe. It wasn't just them, and they didn't always get it wrong either. There's things the Catholics have done well and right from the start, and we can give them credit for that. But this really was something that the Protestant Reformation fixed, and we have fallen back into it. We have this idea that your job doesn't really matter. It's not the real you. It just pays the bills, and the real you is somewhere else. And we have this idea towards education, too, that, well, the Christian stuff, I go to church to get Christian stuff, but all the practical, useful skills and knowledge that I need, I'll go to school and get an education for practical knowledge and stuff. And then I'll go apply my knowledge and skills to get a job. And I'll do church stuff on Sunday and have spiritual stuff there. And we've created, again, this divide between sacred church stuff and secular everything else stuff. Your children pick up on it and they say, okay, church is where all the spiritual stuff happens. We're not really sure what to do with it. We don't apply it. It's not practical. School is where we learn all the practical things. School is where we learn facts and figures and gain more knowledge and learn skills that we'll use to get a job, to make money. And church is where we'll go learn how to be nice or something. And you go ahead and ask your children. Think about your own life and how you apply these kinds of ideas. That it's an unchristian idea at the core. It's an unchristian idea to believe that we'll learn a bunch of facts and information over here, we'll go do a job over here, and then we'll be Christians over here. That's an unchristian perspective. It's a secular idea. And what it leads to, this might surprise you, but it's a straight line. It leads to the gutting and the loss of local communities. It leads to a lack of skill. It leads to an apathy, a laziness, a lack of ambition. It leads to all the kinds of things that we're starting to see. It leads to future generations, rising generations, who ought to have energy and ambition. Think of a 20-year-old young man 100 years ago. That's the guy that built cities and won wars, built bridges, built infrastructure, learned trades, spent his teenage years as an apprentice somewhere, gaining skills, and now he's in his early 20s and he's starting his own business and launching a family. And now think of a 20-year-old young man. Oftentimes, I'm generalizing. Okay, I'm not trying to make fun of young men. We have really good young men in our church, but generally speaking, a 20-year-old is still going to a college, still following some general education requirements at a liberal arts school. Isn't even learning a real skill yet. Still taking all the required woke classes that they make you take the first 2 years. Hasn't started a family. Isn't even thinking of one yet. Plays video games a lot and is generally visionless. And we have a depressed generation of young men who are depressed, who are aimless, who are visionless, and have no skills, no practical skills, no 1 Thessalonians 4 sorts of skills. Aspire to live quietly, mind your own affairs, and work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. Work with your hands, get a job. Oftentimes they've never even had a job at that age yet. It's a Christian issue. What happens is the younger generations grow up, get an education, often a secular education, without a Christian worldview, without a Christian purpose for their education. They then go to college, get more of the same, and then they go to get a job far away from here. Some city somewhere, a different state altogether. Just go get a job somewhere else. There's less and less loyalty to the local community. The skills that they have to offer don't fit into the local community. And so they go get a job where the jobs are, which is generally a big city, where their skills, the things they have to offer are just diluted. They're just an anonymous person in a big city. Meanwhile, back home, the local community could really use some young people with skills. We could really use some ambitious young people with energy, health, and skills to go start businesses and employ people and make good products and be good, have good Christian integrity and serve customers well. And we lose that. Generation after generation, we lose it. We still have some of it, but you can see it going. What happened to the what used to be called the general store in every small town? A mom and pop general store selling products out. Oftentimes, they living upstairs and selling stuff from the downstairs, selling products generally made locally or made in America. And any wealth, any profit they make stayed in their own house, stayed in the family, stayed in the community, and serve the community. They've been gutted. They've been replaced. We still have general stores. They're in every town. We have a Dollar General. It's a general store. But it's no longer owned by the local community. It's owned by some mega corporation that makes all its products in China, comes into your small town, runs out the small town mom and pop general stores, beats them out with low prices, employs people at low wages, and all the profits from that small town are slowly draining out. It's a general trend. It's a thing that has been going on for quite a while. I shop there. It's convenient. I get it. We all do. What we need to do, though, is we need to start looking at what this says so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. Right now, we are dependent on what this verse calls outsiders. We are dependent on a system that is way, way, way beyond our ability to comprehend. We are dependent on a supply chain that is hooked into everything. We are dependent on hundreds and hundreds of things that we do not understand, that any given thing can block it off. The Suez Canal gets blocked. The freight trains go on strike. The diesel supply gets cut somehow. These are just things that we've seen happening around us in the past year or so. And they have major effects on everybody. And the small towns suffer often the most because we have to drive farther to get our products and everything else. What if we started rebuilding? We're going to have to look at this across multiple generations. We've said it, repent of this short-term fix kind of thinking. And let's start building something bigger and longer. One of the things that I want to see happen that has often been discussed around here would be a Christian trade school. We need to bring back the trades. We need to have Christians in every small town with actual useful skills serving their local community. And when they make money, the money is in the local hands, and they pass it to their children, and it stays in the family, and you have generational wealth accumulation, generational skill accumulation. So the children see their dad at work. They don't just see their dad going to work and coming home. They see him at work. They learn from him, and they grow up and get the same skills, so that it, from generation to generation, they're adding skills to the community, multiplying skills and experience instead of losing it and draining it out, and every generation moves away, raises families far away. What if we raised our families and stayed together? What if we built skills that the community needed? My car is currently at the shop getting an inspection. We have a Christian mechanic shop down the road near Heidlersburg. Mike Mays, if you live around here, he's a great guy. I think he's going to retire before long. I haven't talked to him in a little while in depth, but I think he mentioned it at some point. He's definitely getting up there. Where are the Christian mechanics? They do exist, but isn't it nice to drop your car off at a Christian shop, knowing that the person who's going to work on it is a Christian, isn't going to rip you off, isn't going to lie to you, isn't going to drag it out, is going to be honest, everything else? Wouldn't it be valuable to have that and to see multiple generations rising up in every little small little community growing together in this way instead of draining back out the other way? We need to build independence. This is a word, I see it right here in 1 Thessalonians. So you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. We need independence. We need skills. We need local shops, and you're not going to do it yourself. We need the whole community doing it, rebuilding from the ground up. And so this will sound silly. It sounds like a bumper sticker, shop local and whatever, you know, but there's some truth to it. There's a Christian principle behind it. It's not just some slogan. If it is done for the glory of God, if it is done for the right reason, if we're just trying to make some sort of political stance or boycott something or whatever, that stuff kind of falls flat with me. We do live in a very interdependent system, and there's no way to completely drop out of it. We're not trying to be Amish or something, although we can learn from them, right? There's a lot that we can learn from them. But what we really do need, though, is we need people who can work quietly, aspire to live quietly, mind your own affairs, work with your hands so you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. This is what we need. So one of the practical things that's being discussed around here, just within our church right now, we have a big and a growing homeschool ministry connected to our church, using our church building and everything else. And the purpose of that is to offer a Christian education to these families. But I want to make it bigger. I want to make it more valuable with actual practical skills. So Neil Miller and I, Neil has a shop, you know, a big garage where he has a lift to lift up a car. And so we're going to take a homeschool field trip, and he's going to lift up a car and show them underneath of it and show them how to do an inspection and everything else. And they can learn some practical skills from a godly man in a Christian environment and say, hey, here's how to take care of your car in a Christian way. Okay, teach some principles like that. The first thing we're going to do is just going to be a field trip out to Neil's shop. It's not going to be a class, but I would love to see it turn into stuff like that someday and be able to offer Christian instruction in learning practical trades and learning the skills of hard work, working with your hands in a way that you can get, if you're a good mechanic, you can get a job anywhere. You don't have to move away to get a job doing that. You can do it anywhere and do it locally. Do it locally, raise your family, raise your children to do it locally, and let's rebuild our local community around here. And I believe as we do that, we set an example for the world around us. We establish a certain amount of independence so we are not tied in to the whole system. You saw what happened during COVID and everything else. The more interconnected you were, the more dependent you were on this or that contract or certification or something, it just turned into leverage that they could leverage against you to shut you down or to censor you or to limit you. But if you're just independent, you're able to just continue functioning on your own without any of these sorts of things, there's a lot less leverage they have against you, and there's a lot more freedom that you have. And I think we have substituted freedom for independence. We don't really have true freedom until we also have independence. And we gave up our independence generation after generation. We became more and more dependent on others as we gave up our Christian work ethic, our Christian ideas and understanding of what it means to be a Christian community, a Christian neighborhood, to build Christian businesses. We started giving those up, outsourcing them, taking jobs farther away that we didn't care about, that we were not passionate about. And now we have young people growing up who don't care about work, who don't care about any of this. All of this stuff ties together. We're going to talk some more about it in the next couple of videos. God bless you. I'll do another one tomorrow.